Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Hey, great to be with you today. If we haven't met, my name is Stephen. I am the executive pastor and the youth pastor at Suncoast Church, which means that I get to put holes in the walls on a Friday night and then decide which budget that comes out of on a Monday morning. So it's a good balance, and it's great to be with you today. Back home, just a little bit about me. My wife Ashley and I have been married for 6 years. Hold the applause. I know, it's so impressive. I have a 15-month-old boy named Harvey. And so I've pretty much got this whole parenting thing figured out. I've heard it only gets easier from here. But they're not here right now, which means I can kind of get away with saying whatever I want. So maybe you can give me some marriage advice. The weirdest thing happened this week. Ash was mad at me and she said, "You haven't listened to a single word I've said, have you?" I was taken back a little bit and thought, what a weird way to start a conversation. Yeah, cool. All right. Took me 15 months to come up with that one. So that was worth it. All right, enough of that. Hey, I'm honored to be here. And before I jump into the message, I just want to take a moment to thank and honor your amazing pastors. Pastors Az, Pastor Beck. Can we appreciate these guys? This is such an amazing church. Oh my goodness. You know, I brought some youth leaders with me so that we could steal all these ideas and then claim them as our own. But there's just so much life in this place. I could barely hear the worship team over the people singing in the crowd. That's amazing. And I know that doesn't happen without faith and without culture that leads from the top. So once again, can we honor these amazing people? Thanks for having me here. It's great to be here. And I also want to take a moment, being a youth pastor myself, I want to take a moment to thank the real heroes of Beacon Church. And that's your youth and young adult pastors, Bella and Josiah. Can we give it up for them? We can turn up the volume a little bit on that one. Yeah. Where the youth leaders at. Yeah, very nice. You guys are awesome. At the end of this, I'm going to take up an offering to double your youth budget. You're welcome. But hey, we're in a series called The Impact of the Cross. And I was able to, through a podcast, check out the last few weeks of these messages. And haven't they been so incredibly encouraging and challenging so far? And my goal today for this part of the series is a simple one. I want you and I to walk away today knowing how we can experience rest in a restless world. Rest in a restless world. And the question I have for you today is, have you ever had the intention of doing something, but then life just kept getting in the way? Now, I turned 28 the other week, and I got to admit, I'm a little bit disappointed because I thought I had a few good years left in me before things started to go downhill physically. And what I meant by that is my body feels fragile, like an egg that could be cracked open at any moment. And I know what you're thinking, just you wait. Again, it only gets easier from here. But I took my son to a pool the other week, and the water was so cold that the moment my foot touched the water, my whole body tensed up so much that I pulled a muscle in my lower back. I actually injured myself getting into a pool. You can't tell me that's normal. And it affected my life greatly for two whole weeks. I was walking around hunched over, just moaning and groaning. You know someone's getting older when they make noise getting up? Like that's where I'm at the moment. And not only did I injure myself, but my son Harvey, he was having a miserable time, obviously. He probably also pulled a muscle in his back. It was that cold, but I decided, you know what? I'm going to create some perseverance in my son. All right, we're going to persevere. And I want to create a beautiful moment between father and son. We're at the pool together. And so Ashley, she captured a photo of this wonderful moment. And this is the memory that I have. That is the face of defeat. That, there is not one shred of hope left in that soul right there. Either of them. So that was my experience. And we were miserable. We got out of the pool after about 5 minutes. We went home, had some snacks, and we were happy again. But I had every intention. I had every intention of having a great experience. But circumstances and my own frailty, it just got in the way. And here's the thing, here's the reality of where life can be for so many of us. So many of us can walk through life feeling the way I looked in that photo. Feeling a little bit defeated, feeling a little bit overwhelmed, like I'm just trying to make it to the weekend. I'm just hanging in there. We feel weary. and burdened. I mean, it's only April and we're like, you know, bring on 2025. And statistically, in today's society, we are more overwhelmed and more stressed than we ever have been in the recent decades, in recent history. And it leads to us sitting in this tension when it comes to following Jesus and experiencing a better way of life in some way, shape, or area. It leaves us feeling torn between our desires and our reality. Because you have every intention of following Jesus and experiencing the things of God. But isn't it true that just life, it just keeps throwing things on your plate? And it leads us to feeling this tension of being torn between your desires and your reality. And maybe you're here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Maybe you got questions. Maybe you got doubts. Maybe you're exploring. It's the reason why you're exploring faith, because like most of us, you once set out to build a life for yourself and it just hasn't turned out the way you were hoping. Life just keeps getting in the way of your life. Well, thankfully, this is where the story of Jesus comes into play and the events surrounding Easter. Right before the main event of Jesus' death and his resurrection, we see the perfect example of someone who is torn between their desire and their reality. Someone who so desperately wants to follow Jesus and experience the fullness of what God has for them, but circumstance just keeps getting in the way. This is the story of Peter, one of the first followers of Jesus, recorded by Matthew. And this is around the time of the Last Supper. Okay, Jesus' final meal with his people before he was to go to the cross. And Jesus decides to give them a little pep talk. And this is where we pick up the story. Then Jesus told them, "This very night, you will all fall away on account of me." Isn't that encouraging? Thanks, coach. "For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." It continues. Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Jesus answers him, "Truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And then Peter's response, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. So here we have Jesus, and he's just straight up telling Peter, "You're about to fail." Like the pressure of this situation is going to be too much for you to handle. And Peter's response, "Me? No." Hey guys, Jesus just got his first prophecy wrong. Okay, I can handle whatever you throw my way. And before we're a little too harsh on Peter, right? Before we make fun of Peter in this moment, haven't we all been there? We've all been there before. How many times have you left an amazing worship experience or an incredible message from one of your pastors and gone, "You know what, God, this week is my week. Oh, I promise things are going to be different this week. You know what? I'm going to pray more. You know, I'm going to give more. I'm going to start serving. I'm going to stop doing this. God, I promise I'm going to start doing this. Things are going to be different." Peter does what we all do. And then this is how it works out for Peter. Peter was sitting out in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. "But he denied it before them all." "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath. "I don't know the man." And after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Now, this frustrates me, okay? Because as an Australian who watches a significant amount of TV, there is nothing more obvious and more annoying than an Australian accent on a movie. You know what I mean? Because it's all, "Oh no," and "That ain't a knife." Like there's no in between. And surely we can't really sound like that, right? Like, is anyone here not born in Australia? Anyone here in his fair few? Okay, well done. Do we really sound like that? No. Oh, we do. Well, thank you for lying in church. So Peter's backed into a corner. His accent gives him away, and this is how he continues. Then he began to call down curses and swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken before the rooster crows, "You will disown me three times." And he went out and he wept bitterly. Here we have this mighty man of God, moments earlier promising that he would even die for Jesus, then failing so epically. And did you notice that it kind of just kept spiraling for Peter? You know, like first he lied, then he lied under oath, then he starts just cursing people out. Like, isn't it true that when it rains, it pours? Yeah. To the point where we have one of the most significant figures in the Christian story cussing out a little girl and his buddy Matthew writing it down so the whole world would know about it. That's friendship. But I think you and I think we can all relate to Peter in some way in this moment. Because isn't it true that what we want is not always what we experience? Peter wanted to follow Jesus to the ends of the earth, but the weight of the circumstance and the weight of his own frailty, it was just too much for him to handle. And it caused him to create his own sense of security. It caused him, rather than to keep trusting Jesus to take matters into his own hands, it made him choose what was easy over what was better. What was easy over what was better. And this is the tension that we can often sit in when it comes to following Jesus. But thankfully, Peter did not settle for this feeling of being torn between desire and reality, and we don't have to either. But before we get into the solution, we first need to look at the problem, and we need to find ourselves in this story. See, Peter's ultimate mistake, his ultimate slip-up, was when he said the words, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." Very nice. I will never disown you. I blame the slide guy for that, which was me. I will never disown you. See, what Peter's actually doing here when he says, "I will never disown you," he's actually making it about his own ability to overcome the situation. He's making it about his own strength to overcome whatever life throws his way. And see, here's the thing. He's underestimating the weight of the situation and he's overestimating his own strength. Ultimately, Peter's heart was in the right place, but his trust and his focus wasn't. Peter's heart was in the right place. I mean, we should want to follow Jesus with our whole lives, but his trust and his focus were misplaced. See, in that moment, Peter made it all about him. And this is where so many of us can find ourselves falling short, just like Peter. Because my life becomes overwhelming when I become the foundation of my life. My life becomes overwhelming when it becomes burdensome when it becomes all about I will not fail. I will overcome. I will figure this out. It all rises and falls on me. And that's a problem because what we quickly find out in life very early on is that you are strong, but the weight of life is just, it's just stronger. You are strong. You can handle a lot more than you realize, but the weight of life is just a little bit stronger. Again, if you're someone who wouldn't call yourself a follower of Jesus, and maybe you haven't experienced God personally in your own life, this right here is why the reality of Jesus is good news. Because the good news of Jesus is not try harder, be better, figure it all out, carry the weight of life on your shoulders, and don't you dare drop it. That wouldn't be good news at all. And that's how, if we're being honest, that's how we live our lives most of the time anyway. But no, this is why Jesus is good news. Because we're so busy carrying around the weight of life on our shoulders. We're so busy trying to figure it all out, trying to make it work, trying to just get through to the next thing, that it leads us to just being in survival mode. And it leads us to this feeling of weariness, feeling burdened, feeling like I'm just hanging in here. This is why Jesus is good news. Because Jesus offers us something that the world simply cannot. Jesus looks at you and I in the midst of feeling like that. And he says these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know, upon reading this over and over for the last few weeks, A childhood memory kept coming to mind. This is so strange, but when I was a teenager, much like most of you, I had rules that I had to follow in my house. And being the crazy rebel I am, I decided to break them all the time. And I used to hate these ridiculously fair rules that I had to follow. Upon arguing with my parents, is this the cue for me to get off right now? Yeah, okay, cool. She's in the zone. We're gonna have keys for 45 minutes until we finish. It's cool. Bring the Holy Spirit into here. Upon arguing with my parents about these rules, they would always say things like, and this is so annoying, they're probably things you've said to your kids or your parents have said to you. They would always say the most annoying things. They would say, you know, one day you'll thank me. Or you'll say the same to your kids. And I always used to respond probably how you've responded or your kids respond to you. And I used to say, nah, I'm going to be a cool dad. I'm going to let my kids do whatever they want. Dumb. Harvey's one, and that's already not true, okay? And for me, when growing up, as a punishment, the regular punishment that that I would get is my parents would take my phone off me when I was in my latter high school years. And so after a while, I got so sick and tired of getting my phone taken off me, rather than actually just following the rules, I decided to secretly save up money and buy a second phone. I had a burner phone, like I actually did. And I got this burner phone because... Because whenever I got my first phone taken off me, I had the second phone, the burner phone, so that my many fans would not get worried about me if I was off-grid too long, right? And my parents, actually being much smarter than I am, they quickly caught on. Because, you know, when you're on your phone in your room, too late, past your bedtime, they burst through the door to catch you. What do? You pretend like you're sleeping, maybe throw in a snore here or there to really throw them off the scent. My dad, eventually, after my first phone got taken off me, caught on to the fact, you know, he heard videos playing from my room or something because I just was not the sharpest tool in the shed. And so instead of bursting through the door, he walked outside and then he went around the house to my bedroom window. And he could see the light, you know, through the blind. And all he did was he just tapped on the window. And me, thinking I'm about to get murdered, just squealed and threw my phone at the roof. And all he said was... Gotcha. How crazy is that? He walked inside, took my phone, and now I'm still grounded. Now, but I, Harvey being 15 months old, I haven't had to, you know, ground him yet. I haven't been called into the principal's office of his daycare. But one day, when he's a teenager, I cannot wait to drop a nice, crisp, my house, my rules. Oh my gosh. Isn't there such power in those words? I'm just kidding. I'm going to be a cool dad. But see, I think why this memory kept coming to mind was that you and I, we never truly grow out of trying to live life by our own rules, do we? We never truly grow out of trying to do life our way, trying to figure all of this out in our finite wisdom. I mean, since the beginning of humanity, we've always tried to play by our own rules. We've always tried to just figure this out ourselves. And this is a big part of what leads to us feeling weary and burdened, feeling like we're carrying the weight of life on our shoulders. That's why what Jesus says is so amazing. That's why what Jesus says is so wonderful. Because he says, if you're sick and tired of carrying the weight of life on your shoulders, if you're sick and tired of trying to figure this out on your own, he says, come to me. And I will give you rest. Don't do this alone anymore. And see, the context Jesus was speaking into at the time, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, would say, if you wanted to be right with God, if you wanted to be saved, you had to follow all 613 Old Testament commandments and a whole bunch of man-made ones on top of that. So the tension he's speaking into is the tension of trying to earn our salvation, trying to figure this all out ourselves. It's all do better, be better, try harder. And so Jesus comes in and he says, there's another way. Jesus comes in and he gives us something the world cannot. He gives us something nothing else in life can give us. Jesus tells us how to navigate the burdens of life the Jesus way. Jesus tells us how we can experience rest in a restless world. And he gives us three things that we can do in order to experience this rest. Three things that we can do. And this is something we can all do, whether you've been following Jesus for years and years and years, or maybe this is your first time in church, and the only reason why you're here is because the person sitting next to you finally wore you down. We can all experience this. The first thing Jesus says that we need to do to experience rest is come to me. Come to me. See, this is an invitation by God himself to experience the things of Jesus, the fullness of what he wants for us. And notice how this is not a selective process. It says, come to me all. We all receive the same invitation. Again, if you are someone who is still questioning this faith, this Christianity stuff, this is an invitation by God to experience his reality and to experience a life free from the burdens and the weariness that we pick up along the way. And you know the life. Eat, sleep, work, repeat, just hanging out for the weekend for that momentary relief, if life allows it, living for that next holiday, staring at an unknown future, trying to figure it all out ourselves, feeling the weight of it all resting on our shoulders. God looks at you and says, hey, I've got more in store for you than just that. You were created for something better than that. Come and experience true life. And this is an invitation for us as followers of Jesus to experience the fullness of what God wants for us, to lay down and to keep laying down the burdens we pick up along the way. And come on, you and I, we should never settle for anything less. We cannot, we should not settle for anything less than the fullness of what God wants for us. You know, I used to be a terrible swimmer, but somehow I became a volunteer lifesaver at a surf club. I don't know how, but I did. I didn't have to save anyone, thankfully. But I would see people all the time getting caught in rips. And 9 times out of 10, what they would do is they would try to swim and swim and swim against the current to the point where they just get exhausted and they finally just throw up their hand and need rescuing. See, that's actually a picture of some of us feel in life. Do you feel like you're swimming against the current? Like you're trying so hard, but you just don't seem to be getting anywhere. Maybe even on the brink of sinking. You know, true rest begins when we finally just throw our hands up and say, Jesus, enough of me swimming against the current. I need your help. And much like an actual lifesaver, Jesus does most of the heavy lifting. We simply need to reach out and hold on. See, here's the thing. You can't avoid the currents in life, but Jesus can teach you how to handle them. And so Jesus says, come to me. But that is just the beginning. The second thing he calls us to do, he says this, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Now, a yoke, unlike an egg yolk, which is where my mind went immediately to food, a yoke, if you're not familiar with the term, it's a wooden piece of equipment that was fastened to the necks of two animals to plow a field or to pull a cart. And it was actually said at the time of Jesus, this is so interesting, said at the time of Jesus that if you were under the teachings of a Pharisee or a religious leader at the time, it's actually said that you were yoked to them, which means that you didn't just listen to what they said like you would be doing to me now. You actually did what they did. You followed in their ways of life. Their rules of life became your rules of life. You were yoked to them. You did life with them. And see, this is the invitation that Jesus gives to us. Come and be yoked to me. Meaning you don't have to do life alone anymore. Come to me, hear my words, but don't stop there. Do what I do. Let's do life together. Come on, you don't have to do this alone anymore. And taking a yoke upon you, it's actually a call to action. But it's a call to be in the passenger seat of your life rather than the driver's seat, which can sound a little funny, sound a little bit odd, but it's so incredibly freeing. Because in order to take the yoke of Jesus upon you, in order to be joined to him and do life with him, you have to first be and continue to be unyoked from the other things that are leading you in life, the other things that are weighing you down. Which leads to an important question. What are you yoked to? What are you yoked to? Because if we're being honest, we're all yoked to something. We all have something that's driving our decisions. We all have something. We can all have something that weighs us down. We all have something that's the driving force of our lives. What are you yoked to? Maybe it's the expectations of others. Maybe it's comparison of others. Maybe it's that difficult circumstance. Maybe it's the guilt of those mistakes. Maybe it's the pressure of providing for your family. Maybe it's the weight of staring at an unknown future, having it all rest on your shoulders. What are you yoked to? This is why Jesus is amazing, because he says, come to me and I will help you unyoke yourself from the things that you've been carrying for far too long. Take my yoke upon you. And how does Jesus actually do this? How does Jesus help? Well, it's important to notice that Jesus didn't say, come to me and I will remove all yokes. I'm going to get rid of all burdens in your life. He doesn't say, hey, if your job is not really sitting well with you right now, just quit. And money's just going to appear in your bank account. If you just pray a little more, I've got you. I mean, that would be awesome. I'm not saying that can't happen. Please, Lord. But no, Jesus isn't saying that. Following Jesus is not an escape. It's an exchange. It's not an escape from reality or the difficulties of life. It's an exchange between the ways of the world that lead to weariness and the ways of God that lead to a rested soul. Following Jesus is not an escape. It's not a crutch. It's an exchange of burdens. And so you're still going to carry something. Life is still going to hit you pretty hard, right? You ask anyone who's been a follower of Jesus long enough, life still hits you pretty hard. You're still working hard. You're still carrying things. But it's different now. He's now the driving force of my life. He's calling the shots. I am simply along for the ride. So Jesus says, come to me. And then let me take the lead. And then finally, the third thing Jesus says is learn from me. Learn from me and you will find rest for your souls. Now, I want to talk about that word learn for a moment because I think we have a pretty interesting idea of what that word learn means. Now, for me, I've learned a lot working with teenagers over the last years. I'm sure you guys have as well. I'm also the chaplain at the school connected to our church. And in one of the chapel services a few years ago, in preparation for becoming a dad, I shared a dad joke. And amidst the awkward silence that we experienced before, a teenager out loud in front of hundreds of people just went, ugh, millennials. How humbling is that? I mean, that's the new like insult, just millennials. And so that was fun. But I learned pretty early on that younger people think I'm old, but I've also learned pretty early on that older people sometimes think I'm too young to be leading, you know, a pretty full-on youth ministry. And I learned that when a parent was waiting at the gate, at the entrance of youth, and I went out to greet them and check in on them. I said, hey, how you doing? What can I do for you? And the first thing this person said to me was, can I speak to an adult, please? For real, yeah. And firstly, I was like, well, thank you, you know, for thinking I'm young. And also, I'm the oldest person here, so that's not fun. So I learned very early on that young people think I'm old and there's nothing I can do to change that. To them, I am middle-aged on the brink of death, okay? And that's just where I'm at. But older people thinking I'm too young, I've learned a few things that will change that. Maybe you guys can use some of these if it ever happens to you. First, I do three things. If I'm ever getting the vibe that an older person's like looking down on me a little bit, thinking I'm a little bit too young, I'll do these three things. Firstly, I stop saying words like vibe. That's helpful. Secondly, I subtly, just in conversation, just married legally, have to be an adult, right? And so thirdly, I drop into conversation that I also have a son. I don't tell anyone he's a baby. I just imply that he's older than that. And then, you know, like they're complaining about their teenage son and I'm like, oh, I feel that. And just leave it at that and just, you know. And those three things, they work like a charm some of the times. But you have to get creative when you can't grow a beard. Stranger miracles have happened. Thank you. I don't know. I think this is just my cross to bear. Just heckled. So good. Oh, what was I talking about? See, that word learn, we often think of that word learn as acquiring head knowledge. I'm just learning new things. But when Jesus said those words, learn from me, it actually meant so much more than that. And this is important to know. In the original Greek that this was written in, that word learn is manthano, which means to learn by inquiry, but also by use and practice. It means to take things from your head to your heart to your hands and your feet. It means don't just listen, don't just hear these words, but you actually got to put them into practice for them to transform your life. And this is God's heart for you today. Not that you would just learn a few new things or some nice sayings to comfort you at night or when things start to get difficult. No, God's heart for you is that in following Jesus, you would experience your life being transformed. In following Jesus, you would experience your marriage, your relationships being transformed. The way you handle and view your finances transform. Your mental health, your character. In following Jesus, God's heart for you is that every part of your life would be transformed. That there would be a tangible difference in your life. People should look at Christians and say, hey, there's something different about them. I don't know what it is, the way they talk to each other, the way they handle their money, the way they do relationships, the way they serve each other. There's something different about them. I don't know what it is, but I need what they have. God wants us to experience transformation in our lives, to learn by experience. How do I handle my finances? How do I handle my relationships? How do I handle my mental health, my career, my kids? The unknown future, the difficult storms in life, the same way Jesus would handle these things. And you learn from Jesus. You read about what he's done. You read about what he tells us to do, and it encourages you and it challenges you. But then you go out and put it into practice and you see your world transformed by it. Slowly but surely, you see yourself experiencing the fullness of what God wants you to experience, irregardless of circumstances. And when you do this, when you come to Jesus, when you allow him to take the lead in your life, in that situation, in that unknown, that question mark, and when you learn from him and do as he would call you to do, you discover the words of Jesus becoming true in your life when he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because you have handed over the reins of your life and said, "You know what, Jesus, you created me and the entire universe. I think you know what you're doing. I'll exchange this heavy burden that I've been carrying for the light one you want me to carry. Please and thank you. You decide my future. It's better than anything I could come up with myself. You be the source of my joy, my hope, my peace, my courage. Whatever I'm doing doesn't seem to last very long. You be my provider. I'll just be faithful with what you've placed in my hands." This is the exchange of burdens that leads to a rested soul. And when we bring it full circle back to Peter and compare what he said to what Jesus said, you'll see the difference. Peter says, "I will never disown you." Jesus says, "I will give you rest." And here's what it all comes down to. Here's what it's all about. Whether you experience the heavy burdens of life crushing you or the transformational burden of following Jesus, it will all be determined by which "I will" your life is built on. Either "I will figure this out," "I will overcome," "it all rises and falls on me," or you know what? "I'm just going to go to the one who promises that I will give you rest." And this is why what Jesus did on the cross is so significant. Because Peter, after he denied Jesus, after he failed miserably, Jesus died. But thankfully, that wasn't the end of Jesus' story. And it wasn't the end of Peter's as well. Because in one of the first things Peter wrote after his redemption, after Jesus came to him and restored him and forgave him and continued to transform his life, one of the first things Peter wrote to other Christians suffering under the weight of their circumstances is this. Peter says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation." Peter, weeping bitterly, failing, crushed under the weight of his life, "Now we live with great expectation." This is the impact of the cross. Because of Jesus, we have been given a new life. And in that new life, it's not filled with weariness and feeling burdened. No, now we can live with great expectation. Experiencing rest in a restless world. And isn't that something we all need now more than ever? Not just momentary rest from a weekend or a holiday or good news coming in, but rest in the innermost being, in the depths of your soul, that circumstances can't take away, because we believe in a God that's bigger than all circumstances. That bad news can't take away, that fear of the future can't take away, rest that carries with us, not just on a Sunday, but on a Monday, all the way through. And so this is the invitation that Jesus gives us. Are you feeling weary and burdened by the weight of life? Come to Jesus and experience rest for your soul.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.